We're going to begin our conversation regarding this COVID-19 situation and our community efforts regarding that. Dr. Wilcox, it's been a busy stretch, I'm guessing, for you over the last few days.
Yes, it has.
Tell us, first of all, what you were with the leadership team at Sanford Bemidji, correct? And what is the leadership team comprised of, and how did that come together?
So there's several of us that are what we would consider the leaders. I'm the chief medical officer for Sanford Health Bemidji. Our president, Susan Jarvis, our chief operating officer, Joy Johnson, our chief nursing officer, Kelly Hagan, and many others. It's really not the leadership that does this work. It's our staff, and they've been phenomenal in preparation. This is not new to Sanford Health. We've been planning for this since January,
okay,
both as Sanford Health as a whole as well as Sanford Bemidji. So we're feeling very well prepared.
Well, and I think that's worth noting, because I think a lot of these things are taking everybody by surprise. But when you know it was first heard that there was such a thing as this particular novel coronavirus, I think that it sounds so far away. But the bottom line is that something like this, again, where there is no immunity and there's likely to be a pretty rapid spread, the world is really a pretty small place.
And something similar to this we might think of is influenza,
right,
which we don't think of that as very far away, but every year it has a pattern of starting in one part of the world and surrounding the planet through the winter months and spreads quite readily.
All right. Well, let's talk about this one in particular. It's COVID-19, and the 19, I guess I've been operating under the assumption that 19 was referencing the year 2019. Is that accurate, or is it just something else?
That is accurate.
Okay.
This coronavirus is similar to two other epidemics we're familiar with, the SARS outbreak from several years ago and the MERS outbreak several years after that. Those were also coronaviruses.
And why is this one different?
It's new. When a virus is new, we're not very immune. We tend to get sicker. And there's not what we call herd immunity. The community is not familiar with the virus in terms of fighting it off. So the response is a little higher. The contagion is a little more.
Okay. It seems to me that regardless of that, some of the suggestions that we've had in protecting ourselves from COVID-19 are similar to other viruses in that regard.
Yes, it is. But as you know, we tend to get a little lazy about that because we're familiar with influenza and it's in our community and we've heard about it before. To date, influenza is still the largest killer in the world, but we really don't know where this COVID-19 is going to go. And with infectious disease, the best option is to not get it. And so all of our efforts to prevent right now are the most important thing we can do. This is a more deadly disease than influenza.
I heard 10 times more, but it might even be more than that based on some of the things I've been hearing more recently.
I don't think we'll really know that answer until the cloud settles.
Okay.
We know that answer for influenza because it's repetitive. On average, about 300,000 people worldwide die of influenza every year. There's about 20,000 dead from influenza this year in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to minimize coronavirus because we really don't know where it's going to go. We can be reassured that it will get worse before it gets better, much as our CDC leaders have told us, and we're at the beginning. By the time the cat's out of the bag and it shows up in your community, it's getting to be too late to prevent. So all of these rather drastic measures that are affecting us now are incredibly important.
Washington Post actually had posted a simulation. I don't know if you have you seen that simulation.
I have not seen that.
I posted it on our KZY Facebook page. If anybody else wants to look at it, I put it up there yesterday, just as a repost, and suggested four different scenarios, and had dots that would indicate the possibilities of how this is spread. If you do nothing, how it's spread. If you do this, how it's spread. If you do that. And it does seem like the mitigation that we're looking at right now is based on that simulation anyway, which again is done by people who do these kinds of things, is a pretty accurate representation of that.
Yes, but you'll see a pretty big range.
And right, so and that's not, and as they said, run it again, you'll get a different result.
Correct. The estimates that we have now for confirmed cases, and just like flu, there are many cases that go through the community that may not get confirmed. if someone has mild disease, they may stay home and not show up in the statistics.
Right.
However, for confirmed cases, we're looking at about 80% of people having a mild case like influenza. But for those of you who've had that, it isn't mild. You're home, out of commission for 4 or 5 days. You don't feel good for a week or 10 days. You get a fever. You're achy. You're tired. So it's not a fun disease to have in any stretch. But we're looking at about 80% of people having mild disease and being able to be treated at home. We look at about 15% of people needing to be hospitalized. About 5% of people with confirmed cases need to go to the intensive care unit, and about 1% die of those documented cases. So those are pretty serious numbers by what we're looking at so far, and we need to be prepared.
Dr. Wilcox, how do I know then? If I have something that I suspect, and I've, you know, again, so something I heard yesterday that you can confirm or otherwise, was that we may reach a point in the next few weeks where the assumption will be that you have it. You know, that you should assume that you might have it and then react accordingly. How do I know if I'm at home with something that I think is a bad cold, that that I need more treatment than a typical bad cold? How do I know I need to go to the doctor?
It's important to know that if you have a mild case and you wouldn't go to the hospital with a cold now, that if you felt the same way with COVID-19, you wouldn't need to go to the hospital in that case either.
Right.
There's been a
and
lot
probably
of,
shouldn't.
And probably shouldn't.
Right.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. There'll be a point where we'd like to do testing. There's a big issue around testing. There's a point where we want to do testing to find out if a disease is in our community. But much to your point, if the disease is already here, you may have that disease, and you need to think of protecting others. And by protecting others, we mean cover your cough, wash your hands, stay at home if you're sick, and don't spread this infection. I think there can be a sense of I'm young or healthy. The press has been the sicker and the older and more complicated people are at most risk. But if you're young and healthy and have this disease, you still risk giving it to an older person. And so we've had many significant restrictions in our nursing home and facilities that that house those older patients. So if you're young and sick, it's important for you to stay home, wash your hands, not go to work, and not spread this throughout our community.
So when you hear about people who have other underlying conditions and that kind of thing, I think the assumption is that people say, okay, somebody has emphysema, somebody has something like this and could be compromised. That's obviously a very serious situation. Somebody who perhaps has MS, so, you know, would be a very possible complicating condition. When I was doing a little research about it yesterday, I'm 56. I have type 2 diabetes. I have hypertension. And I just found out that I might be at higher risk.
That is correct. And even younger people who have chronic lung disease like bad asthma requiring daily medications. Diabetes is another one. Some people have congestive heart failure or difficulties with their heart. It's common knowledge in the health community that those patients do not have a lot of reserve. If you already have trouble with your lungs and you get influenza and can't breathe well, it's hard to recover.
Right. So basically, again, that's important also for people to understand when they might be at greater risk.
That's correct. And we're asking those community members to follow the basic guidelines that we're seeing. You can go out and go to the grocery store, but maintain that term social distancing, staying 6 feet away from others. There's science behind that. Those droplets that get into your eyes, nose, and mouth fall to the ground and aren't a problem if they're more than 6 feet away. Touching hard surfaces is a small way to get this disease. It's not the most common way to get this disease, but it's why we're talking about cleanliness and washing hard surfaces and keeping them clean on a regular basis. Not touching them is an adequate way to keep this from entering your body.
So airborne is the most common way?
Yes, and airborne, to set fear aside, so far is a known patient with COVID-19 in relatively close proximity, like a caregiver or a family member. Casual contact 6-8 feet away, walking through a building, is not the common way that this progresses.
Sanford Bemidji, are we prepared?
Yes, we're prepared. And this is a really important time to understand what you're hearing about flattening the curve. So flattening the curve means if this disease is predictable, You get an exposure. On average, 5 or 6 days later, you're sick and spreading this virus through your secretions of coughing, sneezing, et cetera. With it lasts for 7 to 10 days, seems to get better. So just like you couldn't have 4 million donuts show up in this office within the next hour, I can't have...
I wouldn't mind, but that's, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
It would be difficult for Sanford to have 15% of our population show up to be taken care of in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
So the importance of all these social distancing measures is to have the cases come in at a slow rate, at a rate that we can handle. So that's why we're doing relatively drastic things now. As our leader to protect this community's health, my biggest concern that I'm losing sleep overnight is how fast this disease comes into our community. And the only person who can stop that is each and every one of us as an individual. So we're counting on our citizens to not go to the large meetings as described. Right. Wash your hands. Not go out if you're sick. Don't go to work if you're sick. As a health concern, we understand this has huge implications for our families, for our economies, for our schools. But it's the individuals complying at this point that will keep this from developing into unnecessary death and exceeding our resources.
All right. And as of right now, zero is the number here that have been confirmed. I heard something yesterday where the advice was to assume that it's in the community. Is that a reasonable assumption?
Right now, if someone has traveled to Greece, Italy, and taken care of another family member that's sick, they might be at home quarantining. Right. However, with the stringent screening that we've had at our airports, that's highly unlikely. So no reported cases in Bemidji. This is still a safe place, providing you keep those social distancing recommendations. I'd like to get back to the chronic disease.
Right.
We've heard fear that people do not want to come into the clinic or the hospital for their routine appointments. We've heard fear that they don't want to proceed with a procedure that they need to have done. The worst thing you can do right now is let your chronic health conditions get out of control. Then you may have to come into the healthcare system sicker and be exposed to sicker patients. So I'd say that's not good advice. We're very experienced at taking care of infection diseases. We're very experienced at preventing you from getting diseases from other people at the hospital or at the clinic. And we've had mitigations and screening strategies in place for over a month now to know where this disease is. So please take care of your health in the fashion that you normally would, because we don't want you to come in crisis with your chronic problems.
Dr. Wilcox, we want to get you to our other stations here as well in the building. We know you've been very busy lately and performing, obviously, a very important service here by just coming in and letting people know more about COVID-19, because for a lot of us, it's a mystery. And really, even as you acknowledged, it's a mystery still as to what the ultimate impact will be. But appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you very much for coming in.
And thank you. We appreciate this time. And for our community members, I think we want to have fear, not fear, but think of those facts. The last thing I would like to bring up is to avoid how things blow up on Twitter. Go to sources that we know are confident and correct sources. And those would be our Bemidji Emergency Preparedness website and Facebook page. Sanford Health has a Facebook page. And our partners at the Minnesota Department of Health and CDC. You will get the facts there. You will understand this disease, and we can stop with some of the panic. This is still a serious health condition, but hoarding toilet paper at this point is not really necessary.
Right. All right. Yeah, I appreciate that. And check back, I suppose, daily, because things are changing.
We'll be updating our plans daily. We'll be updating our communication daily. And look to those resources, because you can have confidence that they'll be the facts, not the fear.
Dr. David Wilcox, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.